Welcome to the Carter Report with Evangelist John Carter. Our program today is Evangelism Special. Many people are opposed to evangelism. What does evangelism mean?
Welcome today to the Carter Report. The word evangelism means to tell, to preach, or to bring good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Evangelism is not about you, it's not about me, it's the good news about God.
Is evangelism dead?
Is evangelism dead? Is God dead? The Bible tells me that the preaching of the gospel of Christ is going to consummate all the affairs in this world. The preaching of the gospel of Christ is the greatest enterprise ever given to human beings.
John, what are the spiritual gifts that God has placed in His church?
Aha, that's a great question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse, trying to think about this now, verse 28 to 31, it says this, or something like this. It says, God has placed in the church these spiritual gifts. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to make the preaching of the gospel powerful and effective. And the Apostle Paul, who was inspired by God, says, the first gift is the gift of apostles. And then it says prophets. Then it works all the way down to the gift of talking in tongues, which is just below the gift of administration. Now, of course, administration is an important gift. But the Apostle Paul tells us in this passage to covet the greatest of the gifts, the most important of the gifts. And he says, the most important gift is the gift of being an apostle, followed by being a prophet. Now, you've got to take it in the context. When it says apostles, it is not referring primarily in this context to the 12 apostles. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostello, which means to send. We would say that a person who is sent forth today, we would call him, well, we used to call him a missionary, a person who was sent forth by God, blessed by the church, endowed with the Holy Spirit, and he goes forth to preach the gospel of Christ. And when the Bible talks about the gift of being a prophet, we're not talking here about Isaiah or even the Apostle Paul. You can check this out in this context. It's talking about a person, my friend, who is endowed with the Holy Spirit so that he can preach the gospel and proclaim the word of God. I want to say to all the young people in this great audience today, this television audience, the Bible tells you to seek the chief gifts, the greatest gifts, and the greatest gift is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The greatest gift is the gift of evangelism.
Are spiritual gifts relevant today?
There's never been a time in the history of the world when spiritual gifts have been more relevant for the salvation of the lost. The Bible tells me, the prophecy says in Isaiah, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. This is a time of national and worldwide crisis. People do not know what to do. People do not know what to believe. What is needed more than anything else is the voice of the evangelist preaching the gospel of Christ and the truths of the Bible.
Who is an apostle and who is a prophet in this context?
You've got to take this context because this context is tremendously important. An apostle is a person who was sent forth. In fact, if you go and read, I think it's Romans chapter 14. I'm just going by my memory, which is not always too good, you know. But Romans 14 talks about what we would call lay people. This is not a term which is used in the Bible. In the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church came up with the idea of the clergy and the laity. This is not taught in the Bible. But the Apostle Paul refers to two people and he calls them apostles of Christ. And he's not talking here about the 12 apostles, but he was talking about two of his associates who were endowed with the Holy Spirit and who believed in the pure gospel of Christ. And they went forth to evangelize. And then in the book of Acts, you read about people in the early Christian church who were called prophets. Now, he was not talking here about the great prophets like Isaiah or Daniel, but he was talking about ordinary people in the church, ordinary people like you and me. And these people were endowed by the mighty power of the Spirit of God. And they preached the Word of God with great, great power. What is needed today in the church? What is needed today in the world is a coming of the Holy Spirit that will endow His people and His church with power.
John, does the Holy Spirit still work today?
Absolutely. I can testify in the fear of God and in the presence of the holy angels. I can testify today that I have witnessed, I have experienced the mighty power of God. I cannot deny these things. I've been tremendously blessed, and I today want to share this blessing with you, my beloved friends. I want to share it with every young man, every young woman who is watching this telecast. I want to share it with the theology students in our colleges. I want to tell them today that they can see and they can experience the mighty power of God. How do you explain this? I'm in Russia with my family and with my team. It's 6 o'clock in the evening, and there's a great crowd of Russians, atheists, unbelievers. They've come to hear the word of God. 10,000 of them, pecking out the palace of sport. It's 6 o'clock, and they won't lift up their eyes. They are so depressed. They are so suspicious that they look down to the ground. And then the power of the Spirit of God comes upon this poor, saved sinner. And as I preach, and as I teach the Word of God, everybody is aware of the presence of a mighty power that is filling this great cavernous auditorium. And by 7 o'clock, people have their hands raised to God. These are atheists. These are communists. And they're crying out to God for mercy. And they come forward weeping to give their lives to Christ. When I came back to America and told people these stories, initially the response was, "We don't believe it." I said, "Why don't you believe it?" Because they said, "We have never seen anything like this." I want you to know, my friend, God is alive and well on planet Earth, and the Holy Spirit is with us today. That's why I believe in evangelism.
My next question is, how did God start the Christian church?
The Christian church was started when a man, without a lot of education, in the theological seminary, a fisherman by trade. His name was Peter. And when this so-called unlettered, uneducated man got up to preach, and he preached the gospel of Christ, he preached the good news, the church was started with a burning fire of evangelism. The reason we're not doing evangelism today in many parts of the world is because we have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe in evangelism because I believe in Christ.
John, why is public evangelism often opposed today?
The answer to that is very, very plain. It may not be palatable, but it is plain. Evangelism is going forth, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to save the lost for Christ. The devil hates evangelism. The devil hates Christ. The devil hates the cross of Christ. The devil hates the holy word of God. He hates the saving of sinners. People say to me, but everybody is saved. That's the devil's lie. People are lost without Christ. And this is a truth that many people, including many people in the church, do not seem to believe. People are lost without Christ. And that's why we need to receive the Holy Spirit and to go into all the world as Jesus told us to and preach the gospel.
Who were the evangelists who changed the world?
These mighty men of God who worked against incredible opposition. Let me name just a few. John the Baptist, a man sent from God. That's what the Bible says. There was a man, and he was sent from God. His name was John. You cannot evangelize until you are sent from God. Then you will become one of his apostles. John the Baptist, the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen, was our blessed Lord, Jesus Christ. He evangelized wherever he went. He told people the good news. He preached indoors and he preached outdoors. He preached to great crowds of people sitting on the sides of the hills. What a preacher. And then there was the Apostle Paul. I have many, many people who tell me they just love the Apostle Paul and they love the teachings of the Apostle Paul. I love Paul. But I remind my friends that the Apostle Paul was a public evangelist. Wherever he went, he preached to crowds of people. He preached to individuals, but he preached to great crowds of people at the risk of life and limb. What a preacher. Then you come down closer to our own day, and I think of this man who is my hero. John Wesley, that little Englishman, just a short little man, a scholar from Oxford University, an Anglican clergyman who did not know anything about the gospel of Christ until he felt his heart strangely warmed. What a story, glory. And then he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and he received the gift of the tongue of fire. Would you like to know why people don't want evangelism? It's because of sin. You know why some preachers don't believe in evangelism? It's because they haven't received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is the truth of the Bible. John Wesley got up 4 a.m. out preaching to the miners as they went to work. During his lifetime, he preached 42,000 sermons, traveled 360,000 miles on the back of a horse. I say, where are the men today? Where are the mighty preachers? Beverly and I, the other night, were watching a program on the French Revolution. We saw the guillotine chopping off the thousands of heads. And I said to Beverly, and she knew it, of course, I said, you know, this would have happened in England, but for the Methodist revival, the preaching of John Wesley, the great songs of Charles Wesley. And this great revival spread across to the United States of America. Hundreds of thousands, millions came to Christ. What a preacher. Then you come down to our own day and age, and we have seen some mighty evangelists. But evangelism today is hated by the devil as never before. I believe in evangelism because the Bible teaches it.
What is the gospel you preach?
The gospel I preach is the gospel that is taught in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, I passed on to you that which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again. That is the heart of the gospel. The gospel I preach is not just advice. No. The gospel is not advice at all. The gospel is good news. It is the good news that Christ has come. God has invaded humanity in the person of his Son. Hanging on the cross was the Son of God, bearing the sin of the world. You say to me, do you believe that old-fashioned stuff? We don't believe it anymore. Well, that's why you don't believe in evangelism. People say, we don't even believe the Bible anymore. Well, that's why you don't believe in evangelism. But if you believe in Christ, and if you believe in the Bible, and if you believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will believe in evangelism. The gospel I preach is the gospel of the Bible, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not good advice, but good news.
John, has there been a decline in public morality since the decline of evangelism?
Yes. When there were great preachers in the land preaching the gospel of Christ, preaching the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, it was a different place. America was a different place. Australia was a different place. What a tremendous decline in morality that I have seen in the last 50 years. And this decline in morality has taken place at the same time that public evangelism has been driven out of the land. When there were great preachers in America, and you know who those preachers were, when there were great crowds of people attending these great evangelistic crusades that the devil hated and his assistants, there was a different tone. People went to church. People actually read their Bibles. People had family worship. But when we killed off the evangelists, We destroyed the soul of the nation. And today in America, even in very secular Australia, even in tremendously secular Great Britain, the tide is starting to turn. And people are saying, we have certainly messed up. Look what we've done. Look what we've done to the church. Look what we've done to our families. Look at the mess. People can't even tell today. They won't even tell you what's a man, what's a woman. They can't even give you a biblical definition of what marriage is. What is needed today is the calling and the anointing of men and women who will go forth with fire in their bellies to preach the gospel of Christ. Don't try to stop it, friend, because you'll be fighting God.
Are there places where the church still does real evangelism?
A while ago, my family, my team and I went down to Central America. We went to El Salvador. I'm told it's one of the most dangerous places on the face of the earth. I think it's true. But I've never seen people so, I'm talking about in the church, I've never seen people anywhere so motivated by the Spirit of God to do evangelism. I met their pastor. He was the president of our church. His name is Pastor Pacheco. I'm just amazed. I was amazed when I heard his story. I was amazed when I saw him go into action with his men because they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were going out into the towns and into the villages, and they were preaching with great power and with great enthusiasm and with great success the Bible and the gospel of Christ. Yes, my friend, there are places today where the church is on fire for God.
Can you tell us about the spiritual warriors you spoke to in El Salvador?
Well, as you know, there are lots of kidnappings taking place in El Salvador because the drug trade has been so horrendous, so horrible, so many killing, so many murders. Thousands of people have been killed. And one day, Pastor Pacheco and his team said, we're going to go up into the mountains. We're going to meet with our pastors. He said, we've got a building up there. He said, it's pretty safe. If you're with us, he said, you're not going to get kidnapped because the gangs respect us, because we are preachers of the gospel of Christ, and even the gangs need Jesus. So I went up into the mountains. We drove up there. We came to this large building, went through into the campus, and I spoke to over 100 pastors, all pastors from El Salvador. I'll never forget it. You see, it's not like it is here. All the pastors, now I'm not talking putting down people who dress casually. That's just fine. I'm not talking about how you dress. But all those pastors were wearing suits and they were carrying Bibles. They were not just pastors. They were spiritual warriors. And as I spoke to them, I could sense the presence of the Spirit of God. I could see the tears running down their faces. I could sense the Spirit of God. I was somewhat overwhelmed. And then they invited me to come back and have a great citywide campaign in the capital of El Salvador, the city of San Salvador. And they prepared for that great campaign by running campaign meetings themselves, hundreds of evangelistic campaign meetings right across the great land of El Salvador. I heard some of them preach, and when they preached with the unction of the Holy Spirit.
This is something I'm really looking forward to. Can we see the 2-minute video that tells the story of public evangelism in El Salvador?
I have a video that we produced with the help of our friends from El Salvador. Here it is. Enjoy.
You can have all the gold, just give me Jesus. You can have all the wisdom this earth can hold, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus when I'm lonely and I'm nowhere to go. One who loved me so, give me Jesus, because Jesus is all I need.
You can have all the spotlights, you can have all the fame, just give me Jesus.
Please stay with us. I'll be back soon with the second part of this program, telling about the marvels of evangelism.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.